So glad, young people. I'm so glad you've come back one more night. Listen, we've only got one night left, and that's tomorrow night. Tonight, we're going to be talking about campsite 4, before the dawn, late, late at night, early in the morning, before the sunlight has come up. And we're going to get into this. It'll be a totally different message. Tonight, we saw a game, this Family Feud type game, and Mr. Leader kept saying pressure. There was a lot of pressure. I think that something's been happening all week, and I've noticed that some of you, or many of you, most of you, are watching, you're listening, you're paying attention, and something inside of you is telling you that what you're hearing is truth. But then there's a battle, there's a fight, there's something going on inside of you. We would call that pressure. And this pressure is telling you, no, 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 don't give in. Don't listen. Don't go that route. We're going to talk about that tonight. And so I've called this sermon tonight, this message tonight, Under Pressure. Teenagers and children and boys and girls, parents are under pressure today. There's so much pressure. Sometimes the room is ready to pop. And tonight we're going to look at Peter. After he ran away from Jesus, he did that last night, he forsook him, he left him all alone when Jesus needed him. So did all the disciples. And tonight we're going to read about just a little bit more, where it gets a little bit worse. So let me take you to the book of Luke tonight, and just read you. It's not a lot of reading compared to the other nights, but here's what the Bible says, talking about Jesus. It says, then they took him, or then took they him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. Time out real quick. Remember the other night when I described the beating they gave to him? Remember they pulled his beard out? They beat him with rods. They whipped his back. They mocked him. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns. This is where that happens. We won't read about it right now, but it's in this place where that begins. And so here, the Bible says they've taken him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Wait a minute, I thought Peter ran away. He did. He left Jesus all alone, along with the others. But Peter wanted to see what was going to happen to Jesus. So he stays back. There's some pressure there. He stays away where they won't see him. The Bible says, and when they had kindled a fire, they started a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together. Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid, that's a little girl or a young woman, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him. I mean, she was looking at him. She's thinking, I know him. I know that guy. The Bible says she earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. It would be like saying, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never met that man. I don't know him. And he starts to walk away and get away from her. Then the Bible says, and after a little while, he's moved away. He's sitting somewhere else now. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. Talking about the disciples. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, so an hour goes by now. He's sitting somewhere else. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. They actually saw each other. I don't know if it was through a window. I don't know if it was through the hallway. But Jesus turns at that moment. It's not necessarily that he heard him. Maybe he did. But he knew. Jesus knows all things. He knows what's going on at every minute of every day of all the existence of the world. And he knew what was happening right then. And the Bible says he looked on Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Again, the title of the message tonight, Under Pressure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these young people here tonight. Thank you for these workers as well. Lord, I pray that you would just empower me and the Holy Spirit would take over now. It'd allow me to preach this message and make great application here. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would win the battle tonight and those who are under pressure by the devil, by their friends, by someone around them, by anything else, Lord, I pray that you would overcome that pressure and they would give in and they'd be saved tonight. We pray this and ask, God, that you'd meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let me tell you, last night we learned Jesus went into the garden. He'd been there many times. Hey, boys, over there, look right here. Look right here. This is important. I prayed for you. It's too important to be fooling around. Give me 15 minutes. If I'm not done in 15 minutes, you can goof. But I'll be done probably in 15 minutes. Listen, tonight, last night we learned that Jesus took his disciples into this garden at night. And when he would take them there, they'd go a lot of times. Often they knew it well. Judas knew it. And we learned last night that Judas brought some soldiers and he brought the men that hated Jesus, his enemies. And they came and they talked to Jesus and they grabbed him and they chained him up and they took him off. And when they did that, the Bible says that Peter and all the disciples who had promised and swore they would never forsake Jesus, they all fled and ran away. All of them. They were trying to save their own skin. They weren't worried about Jesus anymore. They were more worried about what was going to happen to them if they got caught, if they were seen with Jesus. And our story kind of ended. We learned last night that Jesus knew they would fail him, and he looked past it. He didn't say, it's okay that you fail me, but he looked past it because he had a mission, and that was to go to the cross. Well, tonight, it's the same night. Not where we're at, but where they're at. It's late at night. It's early in the morning, very early, before the sun's come up. Now this trial is going on. They're talking to Jesus. They're starting to ask him questions. And here, Peter has come in, and he stays back. It would be as if, maybe just to illustrate it, if Mr. Leader was up here with me, and he was walking up that way, and I didn't want to be seen with him. And most times, I don't want to be seen with Mr. Leader. But anyways, just joking. I love him. And so, but I would be staying back. I wouldn't be getting close. I'd be trying to keep my distance because I don't want anybody to know I'm actually with him. And that's what Peter does. So he stays back. He follows afar off. The Bible says he comes into the hall there, and it must have been cold. It had to be. But because the Bible says that Peter comes in and they had made a fire. They kindled a little fire, and he comes around to get warm, and the worst thing ever happens to him, at least in his mind. He is so worried somebody's going to see him and know who he is, and a girl does. She looks at him, and the Bible doesn't give us every little detail, but I can imagine that it says she looked at him earnestly. She's just like, I know that guy. And Peter's going, oh, please, please don't recognize me. And he looks away and she goes, yes, I know it. You were with Jesus. And he goes, no, I wasn't. And there's this great pressure in him because if they find out, he would be thrown in there with Jesus and he might be on trial and he might get killed and he's scared to death and there's so much pressure. And he goes, I just can't go with Jesus. I've got to say no. I don't know him. And so then the Bible says that maybe he moves away a little bit, and after a little while, a man sees him. The man looks at him. He says, you are of them. And he says, man, I am not. He goes, I've never been with them. I've never seen them. I don't know what you're talking about. And the pressure is building because now that's two people who have said, you know him, you are with him. And this pressure is building up inside of him. And there's pressure there to say no. And there was probably something after 3.5 years in Peter going, what am I doing? I just gotta tell him I know him. But no, if I do, what'll happen? I might lose my life. I don't know. What's gonna happen? And there's all this pressure building up in him. And so now about an hour goes by and Peter's sitting there and we don't know what he's thinking, but he's not just sitting there like some of you are right now, just kind of staring off in space doing nothing. It's not like that. He had to be thinking something. His Savior, his Lord, who he followed, the same one that 3 years earlier said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The one who before those words came out of his mouth told Peter, let down your nets for a draught. He, that same one who caused Peter to bring in all those fish, that same one has now been arrested and Peter ran away. Peter remembers Jesus told him, put the sword down. Peter, we're not going to fight that way. He probably remembers that he's already forsaken Jesus, and now he's just thinking about all this, and there's all this pressure, and he doesn't know where to go with it. And then after an hour of that, The Bible says that one more person confidently affirmed. They said, I know that you are with him. And here's how they knew it. The Bible says in another place that he says, your words betray you. The way that you talk, it sounds like him. It sounds like them. You talk like them. That's because when Jesus gets a hold of your life, he changes you. And they recognized that. They went, you're like him. He goes, no, I'm not. And there was so much pressure, it explodes. And the Bible says, not here, but I believe it's in the book of John, that Peter begins to cuss and swear and say, I absolutely don't. And he just lets his mouth go. And he sounds nothing like a Christian at that point. And he hides the change that's been going on because there's all this pressure that he's going to be taken away and he's going to go with Jesus to death. And he doesn't want that. And you know, as soon as he says, I don't know him, and he starts to cuss, the Bible says that the rooster crows twice. And right then, Jesus looks at him, and he looks at Jesus, and then there's a consequence for his action. The Bible says, and Peter went out, and in fact, right before that, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Remember, Jesus told Peter, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter goes, no. Though I go to death with you, I would never forsake you. No, I would never deny you. Jesus says, yes, you would. And the Bible says when he remembers that, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Boys and girls and young people, tomorrow night we'll finish the story. And I'll just let you in on a little preview. Peter can't forgive himself. Now, Jesus can. The hurt is so great in Peter because he denied Jesus and he totally said that he didn't know who he was. After all this time with Jesus, the Bible indicates that Peter cannot forgive himself. I'll show you that tomorrow night. But here's the thing tonight. I'm looking around and each night I've preached to you about God's salvation. Listen, girls. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to die for our sins, to pay for those sins. He came so that we would recognize that we're a sinner, we've offended, we've hurt, we've broken God's law. And when we did that, there was no way we could be forgiven or save ourselves of anything that we've done. And God had to punish the sin. But God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to come. And Jesus lived a perfect life. He didn't deserve to die, but he died in our place. And he made a way so we could be saved. But you know what? I've preached that each night, and many of you have gotten saved, and praise the Lord for that. But I was at lunch with somebody today who said something after I already knew what I was going to preach tonight. And this dear lady said, there's this battle going on. It's like they want to get saved, but they're fighting it. Something's stopping them. They look at their friends. You know what that is? That's pressure. There's pressure from your friends. There's pressure from the devil. There's pressure from within. And that pressure says, no, what will happen? What will happen if I give in? I know I need to be saved. I know I need to be forgiven, but what will they think? I want to tell you two stories tonight very quickly. First one's about a good friend of mine when we were kids. We met probably in elementary school. When we were 14 years old, she was going to the youth group that one day I would go to. We had the same youth pastor. He would preach about heaven. He would preach about hell. He would preach about salvation. And when this girl was 14 years old, she'd been going to our youth group and she heard these types of messages. And one night she was a star soccer player and she had some wicked friends. And these wicked friends, she loved them so much. She was so worried about what they thought. She was so worried about what her parents thought. And listen, we should be concerned what our parents think. But when it comes to salvation, she was worried what they would think. And that night, my youth pastor preached on hell, and he preached on this place that you go to if you reject Jesus, if you say, no, I won't be saved. And she understood that night, I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law, not once, not twice, but my whole life is full of sin, and I need to be saved. And she fell down on her knees. It sounds great, just like Peter, right? No. Because she sat there, and she cried and cried and cried. And she kept saying, I know I need to get saved, but what will my friends think? Over and over and over, that's what she kept saying. And my youth pastor said to her, her name was Colleen. He said, Colleen, don't you think Jesus cares about you? She said, I know he does. Don't you know that you're a sinner? I know I am. Don't you know if you say no, you'll go to hell? I know I will. And he said, then why won't you get saved? She said, because I'm worried about what my friends will think. And then he said, he gave her a moment as she cried. He said, Colleen, do you want to get saved? She went, no. And she got up and she walked out. And that night, she said no to God. And I don't know all things like God does, but I know what I saw. I know what I've observed. She never came back to church again. She walked out. I believe, and this is only what I believe that night she said no with so much force from her heart. She meant it final. Now, until the day she dies, she's got opportunity to get saved. But she walked out, and she was so determined that her friends cared about her, and their opinion mattered so much more, and she'd lose them if she went with Jesus. And she might have. That's reality. But Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he would never leave her, no matter what. But her friends would. And friends come and friends go. But she let the pressure of not even friends around her, just what she thought they would think. I was her friend. I cared about her. I would have been glad to see her. She totally forgot that Brother Park was her friend. My youth pastor was her friend. She didn't even think about what he thought. And she still isn't saved today. And she lives a wicked life today. Her life is not what it could have been. And you know where she's going to end up because of pressure? She's going to end up in a place called hell, where the fire never goes out. Boys and girls, look right here. We're almost done. Second story, and we'll wrap it up. Me. When I was 18 years old, I'd been coming to church for 3 years. I'd heard the gospel like you hear it now. I had gone to a Christian school when I was a kid, and they taught us the Sunday school stories, and they taught us about Jonah and the whale, and they taught us about Jesus dying on the cross. They taught us all these things, but they never told me I had to be saved. They never told me there had to be a moment where I had to turn to him and trust in him and turn away from my sin and realize I'm a sinner in need of him. And when I was 15, I got invited to the same church, the same youth group Colleen went to, and I was there for 3 years confused, not sure if I was saved. I just didn't understand because I'd been so confused as a kid. When I was 18 years old, in the summertime, it was actually March 24th of 2002, I was sitting in a class like Sunday school, and my youth pastor was teaching it. I was sitting next to my best friend at the time. We're both sitting there, and Brother Park starts talking about verses in the Bible that tell us that we need to repent and turn to Jesus for salvation. And all of a sudden, fear went through me. And the pressure came on. And I realized at that moment, I realized in my heart, I'm not saved. That's what I've been missing. I've known about Jesus since I can remember, but I've never turned to him for salvation. There's never been a moment in my life. And all of a sudden, I wrote a note real quick in class to my best friend there, sitting there. I went, I don't think I'm saved. And I slid it over to him. Well, best friend, he ought to be real supportive, right? But he wrote back a note and he said, well, I've seen the things you do. I've seen how you act. You've got to be saved. And he slid it back over, and that's all I needed to go, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I am saved. And then I went, I don't think I am. What was going on? My friend was putting some pressure on me because he may not have meant to, but I was worried what he thought. But the Holy Spirit of God was saying, no, you are not saved. This is your opportunity. Believe me now. You need salvation. And I went, I know what to do, but I don't want to, I don't know what to do. And there was all this pressure and confusion. And then finally, I raised my hand and said, Brother Park, are you saying that if we don't repent of our sin and call on Jesus to save us from a broken heart, that we're not saved? He said, no, I'm not saying that. I went, whew. He said, the Bible says that. I went, I need to talk to you after class. And so class ended, and I walked up to him. And I'm not kidding, young people, boys and girls of all ages. There was such a fight inside of me. Because I was worried what my parents would think. Because I'd been going to church for 3 years. An independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church like this one. I had to be saved in my mind. They must have thought that too. I was so worried about, I'm going to have to stand in front of the church. and tell them I wasn't saved, but now I am. There was all these thoughts coming in. You know what? There's a person in the Bible that's at play here that we don't read about, but you know he's at play, and his name is Satan, the devil. And there is no doubt in my mind that Satan is among us tonight, and he's saying, no, you're okay. You don't need to get saved. You're just fine. And even your own hearts might be saying, well, what about my friends? Listen, I know it because last night there were people looking at their friends. They'd start to put their hand up, and they'd look at their friends, and they'd put their hand back down. There's pressure. And that pressure is not good pressure when it tells you don't accept Jesus. It's satanic. It's wicked. It's from the devil. I don't care if it's because you're thinking, well, what will my parents think? Or what will my friends think? Or what will anybody think? Listen, that's the devil and your own flesh telling you, don't give in. And finally, my teeth were clenched. I went to say, Brother Park, I need to get saved. And I went, Brother Park, I need to get saved. That was so hard for me to admit. That's what you call pride. There was all this pride in me. And he said, I was wondering. I figured that's what it was. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to get saved. And I went in my pastor's office, and Brother Park took the Bible, and he showed me verses that we haven't read tonight, this week, but I've quoted them to you, I've said them to you. And he told me that I'm a sinner. He showed me from the Bible. I knew all that stuff. And he said, are you ready to get saved? I said, yeah. He said, I'm leaving the room. Get saved. Because I knew how. And I knelt down, and I told the Lord everything I could possibly tell him about my life, how wicked it was, how much sin there was, and I couldn't confess it all. But God knows my heart that I was trying. I was so broken, and I got up that day, and even when I got up, I didn't feel any different, because salvation is not a feeling, it's a fact. It's something that happens. It's an event in your life along your timeline. But you know what? The Bible speaks of evidences, fruit of repentance. You know how you know what an orange tree is? Because it produces oranges. You know how you know what an apple tree is? Or you know how you know the difference between a saguaro cactus and a prickly pear? Because a saguaro doesn't make prickly pears. You look at the fruit. And I'm telling you, my whole life changed. Things I used to do, I was not comfortable with anymore. And he changed my life. But you know what I had to get past? And I praise God for it. The pressure. And I don't believe that God made Peter deny Jesus that night. I don't believe that at all. I believe Peter had 100% opportunity to make a choice. But he chose wrong. He gave into the pressure. He chose wrong again. He gave into the pressure. He chose wrong one more time. And then there was a consequence. He went out and wept bitterly. And with Colleen choosing that night to give in to the pressure and deny Jesus, refuse him, say, I don't want salvation. She knew she needed it. She wanted it, but she wouldn't submit. Her consequence is hell forevermore. And that night, or that day, that afternoon, when I said, yes, I want salvation, there's a consequence, but it's a good consequence. It's a blessing, and that was that forevermore, starting that moment, Jesus gave me everlasting life. And when I close my eyes in death, I'll wake up in heaven with him, and my life is changed forever. Young people, you can have that tonight. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. It's only what he thinks. That's all that matters. And tonight's your opportunity. I know you love your friends. I know you love your family. I know you worry about what they might think. If they're good friends, if they're good family, they'll rejoice with you. Tonight's the night. I'm going to ask our workers to go to the back of the room, if you would, please. And